Colossians chapter 1, verses 23-29. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23-29. Let's read it together with. Colossians chapter 1, verses 23-29. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 20-29, He is the one we proclaim, admonish, and teach everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the injury Christ so powerfully works in me. Amen. Today is the labor of the worker of the gospel. The labor of the worker of the gospel. Colossians chapter 1, verses 23-29. Last week was the message regarding my house, the church. And it was a very important message. And the key to early church movement was the house of Mark, which was the church for the early church. And in the region of Philippi, we see the house of Lydia. And then in Corinth was a man named Justus. And in Ephesus, it was Priscilla and Aquila. They were in Corinth, but when they received the word of God from Paul, they moved to Ephesus and they evangelized that region centered on their house. And the church of Colossus was the house of Philemon, and that's where they opened the word movement. And the church in Laodicus. And it spread through Philemon and other workers of the gospel. And through Rumba's house, they did regional evangelization. In the Bible, we see many persecution. But because it is a house, the government could not enter inside that house because it was going against the privacy. And so they used this very secretive strategy to evangelize. And so the people who have the gospel, who have the covenant, is the key to do regional evangelization. And as you remember this, now you open your house and you are doing your labor as the worker of the gospel.
(Clears throat)
There is a part where you have to labor. And that's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. So, what labor, what work must the gospel worker do? It's not about zeal. But like Paul, you have to do what is valuable. So look at Paul. Why did he labor? He did his labor for the church. And that work was saving the church and raising the church. And so he worked a lot to save the church and raise the church. Then what is the church? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus says that this is the church that the Master raises. That's what Jesus said, my church. And we are the Master's church, or the Lord's church. I'm not talking about the church building, I'm talking about every single one of you. God raised you as the church. And Jesus says, you are my church. And so the master of me, the church, is Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, he is the head. Who is he? It is Christ. Christ is the head of the body, the church. Right, we are the body of the church. And Christ is the head of the church, and he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. So we are the body of the church, and Christ is the head of the church. So although we are the church, the head of the church is Christ. So who must rule over me? Who has to rule over me? Christ, who is the head of me, must rule over me. In other words, Christ must be the master of my life. Because Christ is the one who raised you. And there is this mystery. What mystery is that? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. What is the mystery of Christ? It is God's goal. It's God's purpose. That means that God put a purpose in raising me as his church. There is a goal, a purpose, in why God raised you as his church. And what is that goal? It's through you to proclaim the gospel. And so as the body of Christ, you are being used as the body that proclaims the gospel. And you must remember this. Who am I? I'm the body of Christ. And who is the head of my body? It's Christ. And Christ is my master.
Amen.
Christ is the master of me. And why is that? What's the mystery? God has a goal. He has a purpose for raising me as His church. And what is that goal? To save people, to arise the gospel movement. So you are the workers used for the gospel movement. That's the worker of the gospel. And so God has called you as the evangelist. How are you evangelist if you're not evangelizing? Then that's fake. So you must be the evangelist that is used in evangelism. You must be used in raising the church and reviving the church. Second, we must labor in raising the church and reviving the church. And second, we must labor in fulfilling the Word of God. You have to manifest the Word of God. Now, who is the worker of God? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It's the person that really holds on to the pulpit message and knows the stream, entire stream through the pulpit. And proclaims the gospel to the Gentiles or non-believers. The person that proclaims the gospel to the non-believers. And we call that evangelism and missions. So what is evangelism and missions? Evangelism and missions is fulfilling, it's manifesting the Word of God. Now God raised you as His church so that you can proclaim the gospel to the non-believers. So therefore God desires for you to be used to evangelize in the field and save the non-believers. Because that's how you save the world. And that's same the 237 nations. And that's same the 5,000 people groups. Do you understand? And so God's goal for us is evangelism and missions. That's why God has called you as His worker. And who is the worker? Worker is the person that listens carefully to God's word. You cannot be a worker of God if you do not listen to God's word. Because what are you going to evangelize then? What message are you going to give to save the field? What message are you going to give to those who are spiritually struggling? A worker is a person that carefully listens to God's word. And a person that restored worship. That follows the stream of the word. That's the worker.
Amen.
Amen.
You have to remember this. Why do you think God gave you His word to you? Of course you can receive answers and grace to the word of God. But that's not the primary reason. God desires for other Gentiles, non-believers to be saved through that word He gave you. God wants you to proclaim that word of God. That's why God has called you as the worker of the gospel worker. And so we are laboring for that gospel message, for that gospel word. You have to labor. That's why He saved you. And that's why God continues to relay the word of God to you. But you only end it by listening. Then you have not understood evangelism, you have not understood missions. That means you have lost hold of the reason, the goal of why God has called you in the first place. And you're not doing the mission of the church. And you have lost the reason, the goal of why God has called you. Right? And so when you receive the word of God, you have to relay it. Because that's the purpose of why God has called you. That's the goal. That is God's will. That's why Paul said, in seasons and out of seasons, proclaim the gospel. Who can proclaim the gospel then? The person who holds on to the covenant. Look at Joshua and Caleb. They really held on to God's covenant. In the wilderness, they did not fall into disbelief. Because they knew God's goal was the land of Canaan. And God led Israel through those who hold on to that word of the God, the covenant. And we call that fulfillment of God's word. We're not saying, oh, I listened to the word of God and I received grace or I received answers based on how I feel. It's not that kind of level. Although I'm weak, although I have spiritual problems, although my problems are still not solved, I will relay the word that God has given to me to the non-believers and to other people. We call that fulfillment of God's word. Right? We proclaim God, the gospel and they receive salvation. That's fulfillment of God's word. Because the reason why God called me as His church is to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. You have to enjoy this blessing every single day. That's why you are raising each individual. You're raising each individual with the disciple with the gospel. And we read Colossians chapter 1 verse 28. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone. With all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Simply put, you testify Christ, and you teach Christ, and you raise them as a fully mature person in Christ. And be that church officer. Be that remnant. Be the one who raises the remnants, who raises the church officers. And be the one who raises these disciples in Christ. That is what God is telling us. Raise each individual. And here is where you must labor. You have to labor in raising the church. And you have to labor in raising each individual as you proclaim the gospel to them and receive salvation and raise them as disciples. That's why every single day God gives us His word. And that fulfillment of God's word is evangelism and missions. That's why it says to each individual, teaching everyone, presenting everyone fully mature in Christ. And this is where we must labor, or where we must work. Not laboring in nonsense things. But be the one who labors in doing these things. And that is why God has given each and every one of us an office in the church to do this work. So you must labor according to your office in the church. Colossians chapter 1 verse 25. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me. Right? Become its servant by the commission God gave me. God has given to me an office in the church, or position in the church. Right? Elders, you have the office of the elder. Senior deacons, you have the office of senior deacons. Deacons, you have the office of the deacons. Teachers, you have the office of deacon teachers. You have the office of church of a choir member. Every single one of you has been given an office in the church. A remnant has the office of a remnant. There's no one in the church who doesn't have an office. Everyone in the church has an office. And what kind of office has God given to us? Some are pastors. Right, some are pastors. Some are missionaries. Some are church officers. And you have all been given this office in the church. Some have expertise or specialty. Or some are given talent. A talent. A person that gives lots of influence in the church. And this is actually recorded in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. And all these offices are given by God, not given by the pastor. Through the pastor, God raised you as an officer in the church. And so the office is not given by Pastor Shin, it is given by God. So office is not something that you do because you want to do, or it's not something you can do because you don't want to. God is trying to do this important thing through you. That's why God has given each and every one of you an office in the church. And that's why every single one of you has an office. And all of you have been given, commissioned an office. And because you have been commissioned, you must feel the importance. Do not think of your commission as half-heartedly. God can grant you amazing answers depending on your office. And God gives the word of God to you depending on your office. We are worshiping together. We listen to the pulpit message together. But as an elder, you have to hold on to God's word as an elder. If you're a senior deaconess, you have to hold on to the message God has given to you as a senior deaconess. If you're a deacon, you have to listen to God's word as a deacon. If you're a teacher, then you have to listen to God's word as a teacher, right? Because God always gives you the word of God according to your office. But if you can't hold on to that, you think that you can't do anything, right? Then you have lost hold of God's word. That's why there's not much division between an elder or a lay believer. Why? Because you're not holding on to God's word according to your office. You have to hold on to God's word as the office God has given to you. Then the message that you receive is different. And the labor that you will do is different. to understand. You have to do this. And you have to labor according to your office. God gave you your office so that you will do its labor. Then what labor must you do with your office? Raising the church. Saving the church. You have to do that according to your office. And you have to continue to think, how can I evangelize? How can I do missions with the office God has given to me? You have to labor according to that. And you have to labor according to the office God has raised you in. And so number one is very, very important. Then you hold on to the fulfillment of God's word. And you'll hold on to God's word and the stream correctly, and you'll follow, you put into practice, and you receive answers. So starting today, during worship, don't just listen to it as a general message, but listen with the office God has given to you. And think and pray, Lord, where do you want me to labor? Where is it that you want me to serve? And God will grant answers to you depending, based upon your labor in your office. But number three, we are not doing this labor with our strength. We are doing labor with the power God gives to us. We are doing it with the strength God gives to us. And this is very important. Colossians chapter 1 verse 29. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. You cannot do the work of God only with your strength. Right? You have to do it with God's power. When you do it with your strength, there are limits. And if things don't work out, then you will get irritated. And when you do it with your strength and something doesn't go along, then you get irritated and you might fall down and stumble. In other words, it is only possible to the work of God through God's power. That's why you need to receive the power that God gives to you and do His work. God didn't commission you with His office and just leave you alone. While God gave you His commission to you, God also works with that worker. Verse 29. God works with the worker. For in verse 29 it says, to this end I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Christ powerfully works in me, and I follow that work of Christ and do His labor. And this is where I strenuously contend with all the energy.
Mark chapter 16, verse 20.
Jesus resurrected and called his disciples. And Jesus said, go to all people and proclaim the gospel. And what does it say? And the Lord worked with them. The Lord worked with them. Worked with them. With what strength are we going to heal a person with diseases, a patient? What power do we have that we can give answers to those who are clinically depressed? How can we give answers to those who are mentally depressed? God didn't only commission us and leave us alone. God promised to be with that evangelist in power. That's why it's not by done by your strength. God is with you in power.
Amen.
And God works in power. Acts 11. After the death of Stephen, the disciples fled and scattered. But they came back and they raised the Antioch church. And to them, what happened? Acts chapter 11, verse 21. The Lord's hand was with them. Acts chapter 11, verse 21. The Lord's hand was with them. God does not leave you alone as He commissioned you. But when you hold on to the commission God gave you and labor with God's power, God will be with you. God's hand will be with you. And we are doing that labor with God's hand and with God's power. Truthfully, we cannot do this work if God is not with us in power. Healing will not take place. Problems will not be solved. It's possible because God is with us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. This is right before Paul is going to be martyred. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. What did Paul say right before he's martyred? But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. And Paul confessed right before his death that the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. He stood at my side and gave me strength. That is God. It's difficult because I'm trying to run the office God gave to me with my strength. And you do it when you feel energetic, and you don't do it if you don't feel energy. And most people are living their walk of faith like this. That's incorrect. 100%. When God commissioned us with His office, you must believe that God is with you in power. In the field where you are laboring, you must believe that God is always with you in power. You have to enjoy this blessing. And that is the worker of the gospel. And it's these people that truly labor. And that is when God is always with you, working in power. And God does not only work, but He works in power. Because we need power and strength. But when does God reveal His power and strength? It's when you receive grace. That's why the gospel worker do their best in receiving God's grace. Because if you don't receive grace, you will try to do ministry with your strength and your skills or with whatever you have or with your experience or with your diligence. But in the end, when there's a problem or a crisis or your limit, that's when you get discouraged and fall down. That's incorrect. Because we are gospel workers, and because God is truthfully with us at all times, every single day, God pleases and God wants to give you grace. That is worship. So in worship, you must receive the most grace. Gospel workers, you must receive the greatest grace from God. Right? Because that is power. That is strength. It's these people that continue. And these people will do their best and go all in and evangelize missions and posterity, no matter how much problems they have in their lives. Because God will fulfill the word through you. And that is what we call events and missions. Fulfilling God's word is events and missions. This will take place. That's why the work of raising the church, raising people, will take place. Please enjoy this blessing. That's why we do our best. And you're not just doing your best. You must first find the reason why God has called you. And when you truthfully find it, that is when you can do your best. All right, God is the one who raised me as His church. And God is the master of my life as He is the head of my church. And God has called you with His purpose and goal. And that is evangelism, missions of saving the Gentiles. And God's will is for each individual to be established in Christ. That's why God gave every single one of you His office. And He commissioned you with His office. Therefore, you have to receive important answers. That's why we have to labor according to the office God commissioned you with. But God didn't only give you a commission. God is always with you. He is working in power. His hand, mighty hand, is with you. And He always gives you strength. That's why you have to receive grace. And continue to hold on to God's word and see the fulfillment of the word of God. And it's these people that will do their best in everything that God wishes. Not with their strength, not in their power they're doing the best. They're doing the best with God's power. And I believe these answers will come to every single one of you. Conclusion. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your labor will not be in vain. When you raise a church, when you evangelize, when you do missions, when you raise each individual, that will not be in vain. Please enjoy this blessing. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.
열심히 하나님 앞에 수고해놓고 뭐죠?
There are many workers of God who do their best, but they give up. They diligently work for God, but they get discouraged and they give up. When you do the work of God, you must never be discouraged and you must never give up. Because when the time is right, when the proper time comes, you'll reap the harvest. So you have to wait. You have to see that time, proper time, and work. Alright, laboring for the remnants, that is not in vain. Because you will bear fruit when the time comes. When the proper time comes, there will be a time where God will do amazing works through these remnants. That's why we labor. And last, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 6 and 7.
각기 자기의 인자함을 자랑하나 하나님 충성된 자를 누가 만날 수 있으리요?
Proverbs 20 verse 6 through 7. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? In verse 7.
온전하게 행하는 자가 의인이라.
The righteous lead blameless lives. And blessed are their children after them. As much as you labor for the gospel, the posterity will be blessed. And that blessing will come. That's what we're doing the remnant movement. And we're raising the future posterity. And that blessing will come to you. So what must I labor for God as the gospel worker? Last week was opening your house and evangelizing your region. That was the covenant that you held on to last week. And you are the gospel worker in that house doing that gospel movement. Then as the gospel worker in that region, in that house, with the commission God has given to me, what must I labor? Please hold on to the covenant and raise the church and save the church. That is the goal to which God has called you. And through this, you must save the Gentiles, do events and missions. And among the Gentiles, you have to raise every single one of them, establish them in the gospel. That's why God gave every single one of you an office. But God didn't only commission you, He also promised to be with you in power and work in power. And when do you receive that power? It's when you receive grace. It's when you receive the Word of God. That's when you will do the best with God's power. And your labor is never in vain. It seems difficult, it seems it's not working, but when the time comes, you will reap the harvest. And through your labor, the next generation will live and be blessed. Your children will be blessed. And I bless you in Jesus Christ that you will continue to receive this blessing in this event in school. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for granting this precious word of God to us. Lord, bless us so that we can start to pray with our office. May we hold on to God's word and know what we must labor in. You did not only give us labor, but you also promised to be with us in power. And you promised to work for us. May we enjoy this mystery. And to all the committed workers that love you, I believe that they will bear fruit and reap the harvest. And may the blessing come to the next generation as well. And we thank you and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.